Very good afternoon and a happy new year, and indeed a happy new decade to all of you. Or perhaps if you come from Zimbabwe, you say decade, a happy new decade to all of you that do not waste any syllables, who are my people from my motherland. My name is Kudzai and I'm your usual host on the Mari podcast. I know that it's been a very, 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 very long time. Listen, 2020 was more like 1 or 3 years put together, folded, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And I have to be honest that creating in a time like that is not very easy. I kept saying I will. I thought I would do this when the budget was announced. I thought I would do this when, the year ended. But things kept coming up. But nevertheless, I'm so glad that we are back to a new year. And my hope for this year concerning this podcast is to be as consistent as possible. I've met quite a number of friends who are in the tech space, some are in the personal finance space. And there's been one complaint: can you be consistent with this thing? And I also keep saying, listen, can you send money? You want me to be consistent? Send money. So what I've really been doing the most while I was in the background was to work with a few friends on a platform that can then allow us to keep these things going, give us motivation to keep going. So you will see that if you visit www.mari.co.zw, our website looks a bit different now. And of course, there's an opportunity for you to view it, view podcasts, view blogs. And then there's a space where you can be able to participate and, buy me a drink, buy us a meal, pay for something that you can be able to do. The intention and the desire this year is to definitely do many more, events, possibly every quarter, and then be able to sort of, interact with you guys more, push out a few more products. But really, more than anything else, we are seeking as a team and with the crew behind the scenes to be as consistent as possible. So do help us to help you to make sound financial decisions. And all you need to do is literally just visit our website, and you will find that there is a simple button there where you can hit it. And if you hit that button on mari.co.zw, it should allow you to either listen to a podcast, read a blog, and then of course, last but not least, as we are encouraging this year to participate in donating to this worthy cause. If you want to be a part of our WhatsApp groups, as usual, we will point you in the right direction. All you need to do is to send a WhatsApp message to 0772-191-282, and there we will give you a link to one of the 5 broadcast groups, and counting as normally as you begin the year, these tend to grow. So we might have to add another one. It really looks like we might have to add another one. But for now, we've tried to keep them at 5. And then, of course, there are a couple of, couple is two. And there are a few discussion groups. I think 3 now. We might need a 4th or a 5th one this year so that we grow as slowly as possible. We're not looking to just have people in numbers selling tomatoes and things. We want to reach discourse. We want the people to be able to help each other to make sound financial decisions. And a big shout out to all of the folks that are participating in the groups that you already have so far. Thank you for the rich discussions, and thank you also for your forbearance when we have to check you out because you misbehave on that score. Really, Tatenda and I, and I'm big shout out to Tatenda, who's in South Africa, who's helping me as my co-admin, so we do need to make sure that we curate the content and we allow us an opportunity to grow in a good way with great quality content. So having taken that administrative stuff out of the way, I want to say by all means, please make sure you visit the website. We've put in a few archive blogs. We've put in a few archive podcasts, and you will see fresh content coming forward as we proceed in the year. So by all means, please hit that big button which says support us. If you have absolutely no money, no problem. No money, no problem. If you get onto the page, just hit that page, you say support us. You might see some ads there, some ads or adverts there. Your viewing of that ad also will help us, to make something if you're not able to send money now. But of course, you will take note that if you scroll down to the supporters page, it will give us an opportunity, give you an opportunity to, participate in our EcoCash, participate in our One Money, participate in PayPal. And we are still working on this because this is really the beta mode that we had promised. And we would test this for the next 3 months up to the end of March, and then we'll roll out the final product around the 1st of April in time for April Fool's Day. So by all means, please participate and support us. And we would really greatly appreciate your feedback on the website as we are building it. You should be able to see our podcast on the various podcast sites, all things being equal, because that's also how we formatted it now. And that's why we spent really much of the last quarter behind the scenes going back and forth, building and trying to build something that is as simple to use as possible, and we would really greatly appreciate if you're able to co-create with us. All right, so just to have a quick overview of the important things that we saw in this year, I think I will reiterate, according to the image you will see on this podcast, that when it comes to money, like Anne Wilson said, money does not solve problems, financial literacy does. As the Marie Podcast team, we really seek to do just as one thing, to help you to make sound financial decisions. And those that have been with us, because I know that Twitter was just telling us of our fourth anniversary in late December, because we really started this initiative, you know, around late 2016, in all of 2017, through the coup, all of 2018, in the in the election year, all of 2019, which was an interesting year, I must say, year of much shakings. And then, of course, all of 2020, which was our pandemic year. And the hope is that, you know, 2021 would be a year where you and I can now begin to convert. The word I think that I would want to push out is conversion, where we are saying, and I know at the very, very beginning, I'd said, listen, most Zimbabweans are literate. You guys have the ability to read and write. But the problem is there isn't a conversion from that ability to read and write to financial literacy. So we need to be astute with money. We need to have the ability as a nation. We need to have an ability as Zimbabweans who are either local or in the various countries across the nations. Many of our followers and listeners are in South Africa, are in the United Kingdom, are in America, in Canada, North America, are in Australia, are in China. Really, across all of the continents, across the world, you guys are representing. And the idea is that wherever we are, we want to make sure that we convert that which we know into financial literacy. And there are many, many, many players, some of them whom we brought for our events in this place. By all means, listen to as many people as possible and then craft your path. But after all has been said and done, it is necessary that you and I have enough information that helps us to make sound financial decisions. And that is the desire of our hearts, that you guys may be able to make sound financial decisions. So looking at Zimbabwe, I think some of the key simple indicators that people tend to think about when we compare a year, I know about this time last year, we did close, you know, we had closed 2019 with a rate of Forex for the Zimbabwe dollar versus the United States dollar. It was sitting at 22. And very interesting to know that as of yesterday, the rate was anything between 110 up to about 120. And most people I've seen are using an average of 115. So whichever the case, loosely, we are saying that wherever we started off last year, it basically became five times as much. That's Zimbabwe for you in terms of exchange rate volatility. We do know and remember that in the year, in June, they did introduce the auction rate, and that started off a little under 60. And of course, that ended the year at a little over 80. We know, of course, that that is not really matching what it is in reality in terms of transfers. But of course, that rate has somewhat matched the performance of, Zimbabwe dollar, in cash or in bond versus the United States dollar. And so we are waiting for these guys to come back on the 12th of January, and we will see whether there'll be any news that would come. But it seems more than often that really, for most of us, the feeling is that there's some form of hand that is managing and massaging. But again, we also know that, and this was a question that many of us were talking about in the last quarter, around, listen, if there is somewhat some level of stability on that rate, and at that point, there was some level of stability on the foreign currency rate, from the black market. We did see that that 20% jump came through towards Christmas period. So let's see if that will be sustained. For the person that I use personally, they are saying that rates are coming off slightly. And they say that's the trend at the beginning of the year. People are fairly cautious and a whole lot of other things that they bring in as reasons. But I never really believe anything in Zimbabwe. I mean, I have the same feeling even about stock exchange. I'll talk to that just now. Someone asked me on some platform what my strategy is, whether I use technical analysis or fundamental analysis. Guys, I started in the ZSE, in a back office of Kingdom Stockbrokers in 2003. You listen, I just use vibes, guys. I'm going to be honest. I do read information, yes, but my point is this. I don't really think you need to be a CFA to trade on the market, and it looks like I've already begun to talk about it, so I may as well. I think that's one of the things that did excite people. I want to congratulate all of you who became shareholders in this year, who were rallying behind our mantra, Edzaima Shares. We were basically just saying, listen, if you've made money from your job, whatever it is that you do, that money is never going to be enough, certainly. If you have an opportunity, set aside something, make sure that you put it into a place where it can grow, which basically is what we call investing. And the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange had been one such place in the particular year of 2020. It's interesting because I know my colleague Kudzishara was just sharing how, you know, the value of the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange at the end of last year was about 1.17 billion. And at the end of this year, the value now is sitting at about 2.7 billion. And that really speaks of 130% gain. And that's not small monies. I'm waiting for the actual figures to come through for, you know, what the All-Share Index looked like in the whole year, what the, what the top 10 were looking like, just those, all of those, things that we normally take a look at. And then just compare, of course, all of that to inflation. So it will be very interesting. And that also is another important indicator. Closing the year, I think from my reading of Zimstats, the last CPI I could see on a year-to-year basis, inflation figures on a year-to-year basis were approximately 41.66. And interesting to note that the good old professor, Steve Hank, was actually indicating at something less than that, I think about 373 or 393, but I know certainly less than 400. So give or take, we are saying inflation was about 400%. And that is not small. It is interesting to then note that certainly then foreign currency, which came in at five times over, still beat inflation. So if you had a dollar last year, you know, if you had taken that dollar and just held on to it, then you would still be able to beat inflation if that was your investment for the year. So at the very least, the Zimbabwe dollar would have lost that much, but we know that your United States dollar would have at least still had some form of value, So we look to see whether we'll have the same behavior in this year. I would shudder to think how it would feel like if we are starting at 110, 120, and then we end up finishing the year with a rate of 500. But now, because this is Zimbabwe, I do not get shocked anymore. And chavunduki, and chachka, and chada. Because what you know with this country is it will surprise you, you know. So we stay ready to hear what will happen. We see what way the axe will fall. But I do know also another important indicator was that the total consumption line is at the end of the year, I think for about November, was just a little bit under 18,000 or 17, something odd, but really leaning more towards 18,000 Zimbabwe dollars. And if you do the math at the rates of today, with the highest possible rate, we're saying if a family is not earning, they do not have an income of 150 United States dollars per month, then they're in a really big trouble. And again, I always like to use very simple indicators myself. Listen, if those two people who are in a family, a mother and a father, perhaps in an average family of perhaps four or five, are both of them staff, teaching staff or nursing staff, then we know that whichever the case, they will not be able to make that 150 easily if government is to take away the figures that they put in for them, that 75 that was coming in over and above their salaries. So it's still fairly tight, still a lot of pressure there for the average person. And it looks like, as usual, the first part of the year will be fairly difficult. But having said some of those things just as a background, I would like to go ahead as we just lay the foundation for this year and talk to our Mari podcast pillars. You know that in the past 4 years, we've always emphasized that there are four pillars that you must always periodically, quarterly, annually look at when it comes to your life. You want to make sure that you look at your lifestyle. You want to make sure that you look at your emergencies. You want to make sure that you think about retirement. And then last but not least, legacy. And one of the things we will do this year is to have a bit more events that really focus and really zero in on some of these things. For example, retirement. I know I was speaking to a fellow comrade in this past week who was saying, listen, I am beginning to really worry about retirement. And for people who are in my generation, you are very much justified to begin to think around, what should I be doing? But I'll speak to that shortly. Let me come back to the basic first pillar, which is your lifestyle. And I want to say the buzzword or the keyword here is utility. And by utility, all we're saying is that you want to make sure that everything you are paying for, there is utility. I will come back with another a write-up or a podcast where I speak just to issues to do with budgeting, and we line by line go through some of those things. But let me invite that you begin to do that. We will also upload and we will share with you as soon as we are ready our revised budget template for 2021. or 2021, and we would make this available to you in this coming week so that you have something that you can be able to make use of. As soon as it's on the website, we'll make it available to you. And of course, tichachisa ma groups, tichachisa shikare pa WhatsApp, kuti chigo tenderera, chigoenda mberi anditi, and it batsira na kuti tikuprovokei so that you can be able to manage your money better and make sound financial decisions this year. Personally, I am pursuing that I have what I call a soft life, and what I call soft is necessarily, you see, soft yangu is soft yako, boy yangu is boy yako. But whatever it is you call soft in your life, then if you want to make sure that you take account, because we don't really have time to say we are now living. We've just got to do it like buddy. We pay as we go. We've got to live the lives that we imagine while we go. So you decide, what kind of a lifestyle do you want? How do you want to spend the money that you have in your life? I've been able to reduce my personal budget to no less or no more than about 20 or so, no more than about 15 or so line items, which are really critical. And then the other things are not as critical, but we will give you something that is very, very, very detailed, just building on the past template. And you also can go home and begin to make adjustments to it. So you will find that it will give you a portion where you can think about a life plan, what you want to do in terms of financial planning in the short, medium, and long term. And then, of course, as usual, it will have the section for budgeting. But we've also added a few things, namely, you know, just a few grocery list items, things that you can then take away from or add. If you don't do cheese, you take it away. If you do caviar, you add your own caviar. But perhaps just to highlight a few things that are necessary to think about when we talk about lifestyle, I think I have four things or three that I've written here. I've already mentioned the soft life around you deciding on the lifestyle that you require, knowing and being cognizant that in this Zimbabwe, there is something in terms of product or service for every pocket. But let us not sleep on an important cost that will actually affect our lives quite greatly in this year. I needed to put in actually so that you could be sure I'm an authentic Zimbabwean. Bank charges, amadzangu. Let's not sleep on how bank charges can impact our pockets. I mean, just looking at how we started the year, where bank charges were loosely about 3%. And I remember somewhere in the year when we did our COVID special adjusting, because we'd actually omitted bank charges. And yet, if you have $1,000, you really cannot be able to spend the whole $1,000. More likely than not, you can only spend 970, because at that time we believed the first 30 would be taken up by bank charges. So we cannot sleep on those. It's a cost that we now really need to take account of. Why? Because it is literally half of a tithe now. Literally, any way you look, whether it be from a bank or from, you know, mobile money, and namely, I'm looking at you, EcoCash, 5%. Now, when they published their most recent adjustments of pricing, I took a look and I just shook my head and I said, listen, this is high. 5% is super high. I do a little bit of banking transactions, you know, in other territories, and you realize that, you know, you're being charged perhaps 1.4, perhaps 2% tops. And so 4 or 5% is by... In any way, you know, very, very high. It's very unfortunate that in the territory that we are living in, this has to be done in order to take account of costs of doing business. But certainly, I don't know whether in the future this can become sustainable. I don't know maybe whether we should all march to these places in a socially distanced manner. But my point is, you just need to be aware of the fact that bank charges are a big thing. So, of course, banks, we will differ. And of course, there was an outpour. We did miss many cycles of putting up our podcast. But hey, you need energy to create, guys. I'll tell you that. So those times you always, guys, were feeling, hey, you're not podcasting. It's not that easy. I mean, I was just going through stuff. But I'm back. And I hope to be as consistent as possible in this year going forward, since I have a shiny new website. And so bank charges are something that really would cost us. You want to be aware of those. And always price them in depending on the level of income you have. I know that swiping is probably much cheaper, but we know that the costs that are just coming in as fixed costs for any transaction, whether it be Zipit or even swiping itself, are fairly ridiculous. So let's not sleep on the need to actually bring transactions together where we can. Don't be grocery shopping every day. The more you do that, euro, a minimum $50, some places even 100, I'm told. You want to make sure that you are managing yourself so that you do not lose the money to bank charges. And you know, before there was a chance that you could try and sort of navigate around it, I used to change money or move money from my bank account sometimes to EcoCash Pay from there. But as far as I can tell, there is absolutely, like that popular movie said, nowhere to run. So take account of bank charges, very important. Let me also say, is another overarching point around lifestyle that shop local. And this basically says the things you can be able to get. And I know I did put a thread up on Twitter a few years ago where I spoke, and I think I do have an article actually on one of the blogs where we spoke about how it's important to build local brands that can scale. For those of you that are entrepreneurs, particularly inclined towards manufacturing, I have a friend who actually started that this year, a cosmetics line. I want to say this is a really great opportunity for you to think about beginning to develop products. Today, in this afternoon, just before I did this recording, I had gotten into the official launch of the African Trade Agreement. Of course, many countries are being said not be ready, but the concept for me and the principle is great. You really want to think, if you're on the production side, about things that you can be able to produce. I get very, very encouraged when I see people on social media. I normally mention Twitter because I use that more than anything, talking about how they're so happy that their product is now on the shelves of Pick n Pay or OK or Spa. That's a really good direction. We are at the point where many people are not very choosy. There are a lot of local products that are coming onto the market. Not everybody has the forex to be importing things. You want to make sure that you think about products that you can use personally. I will tell you that there are a whole lot of products I use. I've not been shy to tell you that I use a lot of mega products myself. And I always joke about how they are mega deals. I use their pasta, I've used their rice. Of course, more recently, I have a consignment of Kilombero Malawi rice, which I'm currently going through. So it will be a while before I come back to your mediocre Zimbabwe rices. But let me just say, listen, there are a whole lot of things that you can be able to buy, that you can be able to use in our houses, your dishwashing liquids, your cleaning agents, your toilet agents, all of those things that you can be able to use. Is it agents or reagents? But whichever way, all of those things that you can find that are locally produced, they do great things for your pocket. Granted, the quality may not be exactly what you may desire, but for most of them, I take note that they're tenable. Try those things out and see whether you can be able to make some savings in places where, perhaps the quality does not necessarily need to be top tier. That's something just to think about in terms of budget items. Don't sleep on the store-bought or in-store brands as well. Some of them are pretty, pretty good. So you want to make sure that for those things that don't matter, if you're buying candles, some in-store brands might actually be better than the imported ones, or even better still, some of the local brands are pretty, pretty good. So don't sleep on local things. Jump onto that boat and then see that you're able to necessarily, number one, save jobs, but also at the same time, also save money. So let's do the best we can so that we be as inward looking as a nation. And in that way, we can be able to prosper. I want to also say that for each of those budget items that we will put on the budget, you want to be sure that you sit down. I always say sit down with yourself and review them line by line and begin to think, what are the things that I can do here? Personally, when I've done that, because I normally do my budget in November, not now, I want to think about things like, do I still need unlimited internet? It's not December. I don't need it for entertainment. At my workspace, there is internet, and perhaps I should just stick to mobile because it works and it is functional. I might not really need, that much internet in this year. And I know that the prices have gone up and they're probably likely to go up as well. You want to really think about those things. Think about things that you can be able to pay for in advance and lock in. I'm sitting pretty right now because when it came to something, advance payments for January, which I know would be painful, I had done them, and I'm fairly comfortable because I know I am covered and I put aside money for the things I needed to pay for this particular month. So by all means, please acquaint yourself with that budget. We'll let you know when you sent out a budget template for you so that you can make use of it. Let me speed up a little and begin to talk to emergencies and say, I cannot overemphasize the need to have an emergency fund. Now, I know there are lots of back and forth around what works. The truth is, yes, medical aid does not function as well as we should, and we are paying ridiculous amounts of money, particularly for those that are paying in Zimbabwe dollars. They keep being revised. But having spoken very recently to a number of medical insurers, we know that there is a US dollar option. So if it's really critical for you because you have some form of illness that is terminal that requires consistent care, and I must say this to parents as well, if you have children, it's very difficult to live without some form of medical aid. If you're still very young and of childbearing age, again, you want to think about that because it will be useful for things like maternity. Do the math. Just doing my simple math, you'll find that for the most average type of, decent basic medical aid, you would need nothing less than 100 to about 120 for a family of four. So it's something to think about. Number one being, do I actually make that kind of money? And then number two, would I get value? I would say, because I did this some years back when I left banking about this time, 10 years ago, did the math and said, listen, if I keep paying to CMAS and FML at the time, then the amount of money I would be paying was per month, it came to something close to $300. I was going to have to give those guys $3,600 per year. And none of us in a family of, four was terminally ill. So it was something I had to make a decision around and say, I probably may need to go to the very bottom tier of that. Or I put the money in a place because I did have the capacity and ability where I can grow it. And then I know that it is in cash or near cash, such that if something major were to occur, then I have a fallback plan. But I cannot overemphasize the need to have some form of cover. Generally, they say you must have at least three times your monthly expenses in emergency cover. I want to highly encourage that we build up, trim things on your lifestyle. So the thing is, if you are perhaps 30 or 38 like I am, and you see that all things being equal, maybe you have another 30, 32 years of life, by reason of strength, perhaps another 42, you want to say to yourself, is it not better off that I sacrifice for the next 2 years so that by the time I'm 40, everything is perfectly set? You are better off saving as much as possible. We know when we say save, we generally say try and save 10%. If you're able to live a life where you live on even 40% of your income, I know people who are doing that, right? So that you live such a shrewd and simple life so that you can be able to free up money, to put money into not just savings, but into actual investments, building a business, putting the money in shares, putting the money in property, putting the money in a few other things I'll talk about shortly, and be able to do that for just 2 years. Is that not a worthy sacrifice so that you are comfortable? So I'm simply saying, if it is possible, if you do the math, you remember the 4% rule, you can actually be able to build up, a decent, emergency figure and a decent even retirement figure, over time. But again, I said we will deep dive in that in particular events that will follow in the particular coming year. But let me just say that it is important, if you are living a lifestyle of $1,000, you do need to make sure that this year you build up, you build up at least $3,000 and put it in a home somewhere where it is safe, where you can call it back as and when you need it. You also need to think about funeral cover. So if you are unable exactly to cover yourself, should you be able to die? I always ask people when I do live events, can you afford to die? That's funeral cover. Number two, can you afford to live, which is medical aid? So you want to make sure that you either get the very bottom tier or come up with a fund yourself, a medical fund, a funeral fund. We did say this about how some are coming together as families, as friends, or in organized places like your churches. I dare say even political parties could do this because you have the numbers. I mean, if you have the numbers, again, I'm going to come back to that word, which I said, conversion is key. So there's a lot of comfort that comes if you have some form of cover. Now, I'm going to say something which I know will discourage many because we're beginning the year, but just think on this. And this is really inspired by my 11-year-old son, who said to me these past two few days, he asked, and because he's a bit of a clown, he said, listen, what if 2020 was a trailer for 2021? Now imagine if, because remember when we started this year, last year, really in January, everything seemed okay. For me personally, I'd set up, lined up a few things I needed to do, transactions I needed to pursue, places I needed to travel to build my network, and a whole lot of other things I needed to finish in terms of projects. But what really came through was a pandemic that changed our very lives. Many of you struggled to get through last year. It would have made a great difference if you had some form of a soft landing. We are simply saying, for emergencies, build up a soft landing for yourself. No one is coming to rescue you. In that, you've actually been able, for some, to change your lifestyle from $1,000 to $500. Maintain the $500. Set aside a buffer so that you can be able to build up more money. And at some point, you can be able to live the life that you desire. So imagine what would happen if we were to go back into a hard lockdown. And there's a lot of sentiment across a number of nations, across the nation, that no one wanted to steal Christmas. No one wanted to steal New Year. But from Monday, like it was said in that famous Lion King Disney movie, be prepared, because we just never know. So let's make sure that we normalize having an emergency fund of a minimum of 3 months cover, up to about 6 months. 9 would be ideal. Anything beyond 12 is a bit much. But listen, if you can at the very least, being in Zimbabwe, can have 3 times cover, then I think that's a really great start. So moving on to the other pillar, pillar number 3 is retirement. I want to say it's something to think about, because we've noticed that in as much as we're in a pandemic and things were quite tight listen, mortgages have come back in some places. Again, I'll go back to what I said before. Talk to your banker, relate with those people. They are called personal bankers for a reason. Talk to them, ask what you may be able to get. I see a number of schemes that are very credible coming up. Some are being done by Homelink. Listen, I'm not paid to do this by them. I'm just saying and just sharing information that other folks have shared in within our podcast as well, in our various groups, and saying pursue those opportunities depending on how you are, you know, your life is structured. If you have opportunity and access, if you have the correct pay slips, by all means pursue it. Absolutely no harm if you do the math and it makes sense, particularly if you can immediately move in or perhaps you can be able to make money. And we know that property is one of those particular things that in Zimbabwe will always do you right. If it's land or buildings, at the very least you'll be able, if you bought at the right price, to maintain the value of your investment. So it is somewhat safe. Of course, there are a few things to think about there in terms of conversion as well. And I remember just having a conversation and saying where you can do student housing, think about that. It might be a very easier use case for a property where you can be able to do a growing food or livestock. All of those things are things that you should then think about doing if you have land or buildings. I like how one colleague put it across. They said, buy land and wait. Don't wait to buy land. So that's again another thing to think about. But can I also interest you and perhaps stimulate our thinking? And I know many of our colleagues who are in South Africa would probably share the sentiment of how properties are fairly cheap now, obviously because of the pandemic. And if you're able to save up enough money, you can also be able to still access a 50% mortgage as a Zimbabwean. So to a Zai journey, you want to think about whether you could be able to get something in South Africa or indeed in any other country that you may be in. Don't wait for mortgages in Zimbabwe. If you have opportunity in the places you are, by all means get them. In fact, I would dare say that in SA, things are fairly cheaper. You obviously want to do your research, ask people who've bought before, think about things that you'd need to pay for every month, like your rates. But if you do have reasonable money, yakabatana, there's absolutely no reason why I would want personally to invest in a $250,000 property here in Zim, when I could take that money and put it in Cape Town. You know, Cape Town did not really shut down. Were you listening to Comrade Cyril when he was doing those family meetings? I personally would creep in like an extended family, second cousin. You know, the type of cousin who, when people do family meetings, they don't sit on the sofa because they are not really first line. They are asking manawepo. But you listen in, and those things were very important learning for me to say, for some people who may have perhaps invested in property in places like, let's just say Joburg, right, randomly. Not, of course, there are specifics to these things. And it's not a property you're living in, but you're renting out. If people then stopped, demand. I remember speaking to a lady in a supermarket who was saying she used to lease out her house, you know, to expatriates. But, you know, with COVID, there wasn't as much movement. And therefore, she had a bit of a problem there. But you see that places like Cape Town that are touristy, where they protect certain types of capital, it looks like the show just kept going on. So you want to really think about things like that and say, where can I be able to put my money in a big way going forward? So let us not sleep on the opportunity of north, or rather south of the Limpopo, because we are North Limpopo, isn't it? And so on legacy, again, let's think about all of those things in terms of retirement. I will speak shortly, on legacy. I'll speak shortly about the different types of investments. In fact, let me move across quickly very much quickly to the markets and just talk about investments and then come to a conclusion. I did say this would be long because I'm trying to really compress every thought I had since, you know, budget times up to now, or perhaps even since October up to now, and put it in one place. And so I want to just say, when it comes to investments, many people do like to save in Zimbabwe, but what we fear is to lose value. I personally have been looking to the south very much, simply because I realize that it is easy for many Zimbabweans to access. So think about fixed income investments in South Africa. I know that the returns are fairly small, but for those of you, and I know there are many amongst us, who are also very risk averse, if you don't have comfort in doing savings in US dollar or whatever, then you want to think about putting them in those places in South Africa, fixed income investments. But of course, do not forget that there is exchange rate issues. Now, you recall that at the height of our lockdown, I remember around May, thereabouts, April, May, you know, rates were as good on the rand as I think 17 If you look at it now, it's 14 points. So you can think about the kind of exchange loss that you may incur there. But for those that really fear, yes, it's something to really think about in terms of market. Property, I think we've already spoken about how there's an interesting logic around student housing, around low-cost housing. Think about also looking across the borders as a way of investing for yourself and for posterity as well. I also want to say that shares, and I think these have been the darling, were very easy because most of us do get Zimbabwe dollars. And thank God for the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange that gives us opportunity. I was just reading very encouraging threads today of people who are just sharing the types of gains, anything from 50 through to people who have even 1,000% if they picked right. Of course, mostly that was people who were in your CBZs and stuff. But my point is this: if in real returns you're able to make a double digit figure, then that's not bad at all. So what we know is that after all has been said and done, and to quote one of my friends whom we brought for an event before, Zimbabwe really, or the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange, is a frontier market. Look at Africa markets when they publish who has done well. You will find that Zimbabwe is always in the top two, if not always number one. Think also about investing on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, close to 360 or so counters. I've said this before: study the exchange, get familiar, see the trends, and begin to play in that market. There really is no way to do this thing as theory. You've just got to get in there and get started for it to make sense. I will not begin to speak even of the Nasdaq because I'm not playing in that space. I don't like to talk about things that I'm not an expert in, but if your friends and family are in the United States, listen, look at how counters like Zoom did, how Tesla, I think Tesla is one of the most phenomenal counters in terms of gains this year. I may not always be able to all get those types of gains, but I want to say, according to a particular verse that I shared on my Twitter feed that talks about how it is important that you cast your bread upon many waters, or basically invest your money in different places, in foreign lands, because you do not know where you will find it. More and more the world is becoming global. You have a United States dollar, you are here. Then it's good for you to think about deploying it in other places where you can make money. Here's a thought. Don't look for huge gains. Now, most people want things that jump from today to go up 30%. Imagine what would happen if you buy into a share and every day for the rest of the year, it's going up by 1% or 2%. Imagine the types of gains that you'd make. So I personally don't believe in being greedy. I believe in having a clear investment strategy and a clear exit strategy. I believe in taking profits when you've made profits, what we call realizing the profits, and then reinvesting. And that has served me well in this particular year. In fact, I was a bit lazy. I wasn't really trading. I would probably have done better if I didn't do more of a buy, hold, and then occasionally sell type of investment strategy. But at the same time, I am cognizant of the fact that in the long run, certainly the stock market will outperform every other market. However, a quick note on shares. For those that are looking to do retirement, I am increasingly uncomfortable, having seen the cycles we've gone through, recommending that anybody buy shares with the intention of retiring. Personally, I prefer to trade, basically a buy and sell. If I've made my money, I will tell you, for example, that the place I made money in this year were cassava. At some point, they moved. I bought it at the right price. Your Delta. I made some money from Star Africa, which is interesting, but the other lot, I didn't make as much as I should have. I made a decent amount in ZPI. In each of those places, you will see that the kind of gains I was making were around 50 to 60%. I sell when the market is on the way up. I believe in not getting greedy, because sometimes if you're greedy, you may not be able to time the market correctly, and you would lose money rather than actually make it. At the same time, you don't want to be watching the market go up and say, oh, I could have, I should have. So personally, for me, if I've made a return or a gain of 50%, I'm very happy to exit in any place. We know that from this coming Monday, exchange-traded funds are coming through. And I know some of you have asked, what really are they? Now, basically, these actually behave the exactly same way as unit trusts do. You remember that unit trusts are named by the Americans mutual funds. I prefer the way they do it, where essentially people who are not able to buy a full asset of any nature, it could be a property or a share or gold or whatever it is, or a property, right? They come together, they put their money together, and then they give it to a fund manager who then takes the monies or the small monies of all of those people, puts them together, and then buys on their behalf, right? And all of you are now part owners or co-owners of a property or shares or buildings or even cattle. The underlying assets can really be anything that you choose to buy into. Now, the difference between unit trusts which tend to have shares or property as underlying assets, and exchange traded funds. Is the underlying asset in ETFs or exchange traded funds the indices, right? So what you're buying is you're buying the index. If I were to give an example, in Zimbabwe, we have what we call your top 10. Top 10 is like your most capitalized companies that include your CBZs, that include your Econes, that include your Deltas, your Seedcos, your C. If you put all of those top 10 companies together, you will find that you can be able to track on the daily the movement, the weighted movement or the average type of movement up or down based on the performance of those particular counters. So Delta has gone up 3%, CBZ has gone up 4%, Citco has gone down by 2%. So if you put the behavior of those three counters shares together, at the end of the day, you can be able to say that the behavior generally of the top 10 index was maybe it went up by 2% or it went down by 1.5%. So if we're able to know how that particular index is performing, someone can buy into that index. So what we would then do is we all give money to a fund manager, and the fund manager goes and buys those particular shares as a way of as having as an underlying asset. And then the movements of the behavior or the behavior, the movements of those share prices is what builds up to what we call an index. So if I buy into the index and it's starting at, say, 1, if that's the starting price, if things go down, it can be 0.7. That's the value of each unit in that index. Or it can go up to maybe 1.3. That's 30% gain, right? So that's 30% either way, either a loss or a gain. The difference between ETFs and unit trusts, though they are very similar in terms of their crafting and design, is that when I buy unit trusts, I cannot be able, when I feel I want to leave, I can't be able to sell those unit trusts to another person directly or sell them on a market to say, listen, I put in at 1.2, so let me now sell to you my unit trusts, at 1.4. I can't do that. I would probably give an instruction to the fund manager to say I want to liquidate, and then they find someone who is able to buy the units, and then I am replaced. Or they are continually selling these units to different people. So people can go in and go out, but only at the behest of a fund manager. The difference with an exchange traded fund now is that with ETFs, they can actually be traded like shares are done on an exchange. And I think it will become more clearer because we will do an event that is just around that once they start on Monday. And I know that the ZSC has already put up another, video where they're explaining this. You can go and look at it. But suffice to say that these are useful for someone who has small bit of money, because more often than not, what you're actually buying is much, much less than what you would spend if you were going to buy directly into the stock exchange. So around the world, most people don't start getting into the stock market like what ZSC Direct or C-Trade allowed us to do this year, where you buy with $500 and you can buy, maybe 1,000 shares in MedTech or something like that directly. When you buy the index, you're actually just buying into what is thought to be the performance of specific counters. And what would happen is that those that are offering them, for example, Old Mutual is ready for this Monday, those guys would have told you in their prospectus which counters that they are going to be buying into. And what would happen normally is Old Mutual already has unit trusts. You can't sell your unit trusts as an Old Mutual unit trust holder to a man on the street, right? Those things are just kept internal within Old Mutual. So someone who goes to them, they can then make a participant in their unit trust program. With exchange traded funds or ETFs, these can be traded across the market, across brokers even. So they can be able to buy and sell, that particular ETF they can be traded rather by brokers, different other people who are not just Old Mutual itself. Sorry, I needed to correct that bit because it was getting ambiguous. So I think it will be much, much easier for us to understand once these things begin to start. You see how it works. But essentially, to buy unit trust right now in Old Mutual, you'd have to go to Old Mutual only. But to buy ETFs, I can be able to instruct my broker at Morgan & Co. to buy for me, right? And I can, because those things will actually also be brought to market and people will be buying and selling. But there are products that are normally created around that, because what happens generally with unit trusts is for you to be able to get out, someone must be getting in so that you can occupy where they were. With ETFs, even if there are no sellers or no buyers, there is a market making mechanism that can be put in where someone thinks, I just think that the index is going to go up by this much. So listen, I'm very happy to take that thing off you, and I'll pay you something, and then I'll hold on to it with the intent of selling it myself. So even the stockbroker could possibly, I'll see whether the rules allow, come in as a market maker. So the principle is fairly similar to unit trust, yes, but what you're buying into is not really the direct underlying asset, as it were. You are buying into the fund itself, the movement of the behavior, the movement that is affected by the behavior of the underlying assets. I'm hoping I didn't confuse you more, but let me just say this. I think it will be much, much easier once they come on board. But let me say it's safer for most people to just say, okay, someone has already selected the 10 counters that make up a particular ETF. So it looks like they are solid counters. Let me buy into that and hope to make money from the movement of them collectively. If 10 counters that were doing well go up, then you are likely perhaps to make a really decent amount versus gambling on one direct counter, which could possibly beat the ETF index, yes, but also could potentially burn you. So as we start, I'm sure it will become much, much more evident what it means. So I know, for example, that the ZSE has already indicated that they would start at, they're starting on Monday, and the indication looks like for each, the price of about one Zimbabwe dollar. So they would probably have stockbrokers having a threshold of saying you can only buy in the ETF maybe, 2,500 Zimbabwe dollar worth, or whatever minimum that they choose that makes sense to them. It'd also be interesting to note that there will be charges around it, but I know that the charges will not match the ones for the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. Otherwise, everything will be eaten too, because what you're buying is into, the movements of an exchange and not so much the movements of share prices. All I will say is, because these are found in every other territory across the world, for those of you that were a bit, uncomfortable with shares direct, still think about trading into ETFs. If you want, you can observe in the first week and just see how it goes. It will become clearer as we do it. But across the world over, really, people start by learning by buying ETFs. So that whereas you might have bought into Delta and you could have made 50%, an ETF might give you 30, but that's still not harmful if you are risk averse, because at the very least, someone has already done the pre-selection for you in terms of shares. But those that are more, philosophical, more technical, more able and willing, then by all means, buy directly into the market. Let me begin to end now by talking to what I would call alternative investments. This past decade went out with a very interesting bang on the alternative side. I know for some of my corporate clients where I do financial wellness, I did talk about why it was necessary to think about buying Bitcoin. And I know the last class I did with a particular company, which shall not be named, I did say I am personally going to put a small amount of money in Bitcoin and I might hold it for the rest of my life. I put in $50 in August, and by the time we closed the year, that $50 had grown to about $110. So always you want to make sure in things like cryptocurrency, you're not putting in alternative investments money that you cannot afford to lose, right? If you're not a sophisticated investor, much like on the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange or any other stock exchange for that matter, then play it safe. Only put in money that you know you can be able to afford to lose. So the price of Bitcoin hit its all-time high. Even today as we speak, I have not checked in the past hour. The last I checked was about 28,000. Yakananga zvayo 30. If it takes the behavior of the Zimbabwe dollar versus the United States dollar, it's very interesting to read what the forward prices are looking like. They are saying 131. Some are saying 200. The conservative ones are saying it will go up to 50,000. Whichever the case, if you had managed just by one Bitcoin and hold, there's absolutely no way you would lose even after adjusting for inflation. I rue and kick myself for fumbling the bag, because I did have a chance to buy a full Bitcoin in 2014-15 when I was away, which was at that time about $600. I would probably be in the money. But it's also very likely that I would have sold somewhere along the line, because this I'm saying with the benefit of hindsight. But now that we know better, then certainly we can do better. Reading, getting information is always important. And then you'll see whether you will not be able to make your money from casting it in foreign lands. Think about side businesses as well. I know many of you call them hustling and whatnot, but think about whether you can formalize those things, whether you can scale. I want to emphasize that where you can try and build online business, where you can build business online and money is able to be made while you yourself are passive and unaware. I know that lots of people on Twitter, for example, are sharing about affiliate marketing. People are talking about writing ebooks. People are talking about selling courses. If those things excite you, then really research. It's worth putting money into. I will tell you that when I talk about things that I invested in last year, I would believe that my biggest investment actually went, in my case, into my online something, which I my online gig, which my own digital assets, which I'm still working on. And then I put a little bit of money in after that, followed by the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange, and then Bitcoin, and then, of course, investing in myself, because I do make money as an individual. But it's important to think about things that you can be able to do in this digital age to be able to make more money from the money that you're already making from work. Think also about biological assets. I see people doing great stuff with livestock. Think about those things if that is what excites you and gives you life. But all the time, all I want to emphasize is this. Do have alternatives. The money you make from work would always never be enough. Even CEOs will complain how they need much more money. The trick is to then take a bit from what you already make and then convert. Conversion is key in this particular year. So let's continue to build resilience. And if you're to ask, what then shall we do? I want to say, in the tone and the spirit of Elder Machando, advice yangu kupa ende kuti. Continue to learn how to manage money. Remember that managing money is more important than making it. And then you want to make sure also, number two, that you spend less where you can, and then earn more where you can, and then invest. Try and make sure that you, whatever you cut on, you do so that there is conversion, and then you make that money make you more money. Then you can always be able to change your lifestyle upwards. If you were watching DSTV, it may make sense to get an open view. I was watching a very interesting discussion between two Nyararos on Twitter, and I agree with a guy called Against, who interestingly was actually going against them and saying that they are contradicting. And I feel that they were both right, because one was saying, listen, you won't get rich by cutting down on coffee, you won't get rich by failing to subscribe to Netflix, right? Certainly, I agree. But I do believe that what the other guy was saying, when he was saying cut down on things as much as you can, both of them are right. I want to believe that depending on the stage you are in life, there are places for some people who are saying, listen, I'm not making $100. I literally have no room to maneuver. For that person, I would say strip. Let go of your DSTV. Let go of your coffees if you buy it. You know, those things that are fancy for just a year, so that you build capital. The phrase I prefer to use personally is so that you create fiscal space in your budget, and then you deploy whatever money you've made towards things that can grow your money. And then once you've put the right things in place and you're making proper real money, because the truth is, in life we move level by level, isn't it? But the beauty of the internet, the beauty of stock market, the beauty of crypto, the opportunity of the internet is that you can actually make phenomenal gains. It's very possible to be a somewhat nobody today and then wake up, you know, in the money literally in the next week. And so you want to think about things that you could do. I want to encourage and say, as we have a brand new year, act on your ideas. Some of us had ideas we thought we could have done last year. Now we regret not doing them. I personally have a few things that I've been putting off doing that are online. I'm going to go in hard. I'm going to go in really hard and try and see how I can make money in those things. You really only miss the things that you do not aim for. If you aim at nothing, you will surely hit it. So spend less, earn more, and invest. Get really good at all of these three. And so in terms of the practical matters around how we can do it, the practical matters are more practical matters around the four pillars we've indicated, as usual, around lifestyle, around emergencies, around retirement, around legacy. We will make sure that as we proceed in the year, we continue to unpack these things and how we can be able to manage money as well as to make more money. Thank you very much for listening. Be sure to visit our website, and by all means, do support us. www.mari.co.zw, and in need for our WhatsApp groups, 0772. 191-282. Cheers.